Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Ever since security was breached at the U.S. Capitol building, people all over the world have been holding their breath, hoping that another act of violence doesn't interrupt the inauguration of Joe Biden to the U.S. presidency. Well, what shaped Biden to lead a country in crisis, and how will he manage the pandemic and unite a very divided nation? Tonight, Frontline premieres President Biden at 9 p.m. Central, 8 Mountain on SDPB-TV and on YouTube. Frontline digs into Biden's battles dating back to his childhood. Jim Gilmore is an award-winning producer, and he's worked with Frontline for more than three decades. He joins us now on the phone to preview President Biden. Jim, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lori. It's great to be here.
I'm hoping we can start, because this inauguration has become such a news event above and beyond what it normally is when we welcome a new president to the White House. Joe Biden starts campaigning during another really fraught political time filled with racial tensions and social unrests and riots in the early 70s. Can we start there and tell me a little bit about how he enters running for national office at this really difficult time?
Yeah, I mean, he was a very young man at that point. He's 29 years. Actually, when he started running, he was 28. You have to be 30 years old to be a senator. So he was he wouldn't turn 30 until just before he took the oath of office. But it was, you know, I'm old enough to remember back then. It was a fraught time. There was racial tension in many cities, and in Delaware especially. Wilmington had state police and National Guard in the city for over a year. I think at that point it was a very difficult time. And Joe, even then, he was a bit audacious in some ways in the decisions that he made. But he felt he was the right man at the right time, and I think he's always been that kind of individual where he feels a calling almost that he can do a job that maybe others can't, and he stands up and says, "I'm the guy." And back then, at age 29, he ran against a senator who nobody thought he could beat. And yet, with a lot of help from younger voters who were brought to bear because of the fact that there was so much going on that the youth vote was really came out to vote. He had very strong support in the black community because of some of the issues that he was good at talking about, and because he was very good with people, and he knew a lot of people in the black community. So he, even back then in 1972, he was very successful when many people thought he can never do it. And I think that he's always, when expectations are against him, when the chips are down, when a crisis has just struck, he's a guy who seems to be always able to get up when knocked down. And it was a lesson that he always talks about. His dad taught him is that it doesn't matter that if you're knocked down, you just have to get up. So that was the beginning of an amazing 50 years in public service in Washington. Many other losses. He ran for president two other times, and he lost. And he went through amazing tragedies after being elected the first time around. He lost his wife and child in a horrible accident just around Christmas time before he was sworn in. And he really didn't think he was going to be able to do the job, and he talked about not taking the job, and yet he decided in the end that it was what he had, it was his calling, it was what a lot of people had worked very hard for him to accomplish. And in fact, he did take the job as senator, and that led to 50 more years of working in politics in America.
Yeah. I want to ask you about this moment that is in this front line where he is, being sworn in, and he makes a promise that, you know, he believes that he can do this, but if there's ever a day he can't, that he will step aside and make sure, because they his children can always get, or an American can get another senator, but his children can't get another father. And for 1972, that seems like an incredibly bold thing for a young father to say to me. Can you put that in context a little bit? I mean, that's not something that every father in the public, you know, arena would have pointed out, that fatherhood is as important as he saw it at that time.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's a very real guy. He's not your normal politician, and he has his priorities. You know, his priorities are set in stone, basically, and family was one of the major ones. And he had just lost his wife and one child. He had two sons that survived the crash. And they were the most important thing in his life. And so, you know, he became famous as the Amtrak senator, because he would ride back and forth on Amtrak every night to have dinner with his kids and put them to bed. So he does. I think, you know, he's very real in a lot of what he says. He's made a lot of mistakes, and the film goes through a lot of the mistakes and wrong directions that he's taken in life. But he is a very, honest guy. He admits his mistake, and then he moves on, and he learns from them. And I think that's something that, over 50 years, has made him a very, sturdy candidate or senator or vice president. Is because I think people take him at his word, and I think it's one of the reasons why he won this time around. This time, I think people were looking for somebody who was a nice guy. He's a decent man. He's a moderate. He's an institutionalist. He's also has gone through horrific personal events. So in some ways, somebody in the film says that he's sort of elected as the national grief counselor for America, who is going through enormous amount of trauma at this point, with a very divided Congress, a very divided population in America, which certainly January 6th showed to be the case, and going also through a pandemic with COVID, with 400,000 people dead, along with an economy that's in a very difficult state because of COVID. So I think Americans in some way saw Joe Biden as somebody that maybe was just the right combination of abilities type of guy he was, and the amount of time that he has spent in Washington, so that he maybe, if there's anybody who can, you know, work across the aisle, maybe it is him. I mean, that's what he was famous for when he was a senator. And though politics has changed tremendously since he was in the Senate, I think there's a hope out there that he possibly can bridge the divide in a way that maybe a lot of other people can't. And I think that's why a lot of people voted for him this time around.
From what you know, following his career, the fact that he will, be inaugurated under these extreme circumstances, you won't have the crowds on the wall in Washington. There is President Trump won't be there to make, you know, to shake his hand and pass things off and concede the election. Does that get to him personally, because he is an institutionalist and he believes in the strength of some of those, you know, the optics and the rituals and why those things are important? Is that especially hard for someone like Joe Biden, who has spent so long following those rules?
I don't think so, because I think he's also a realist. I think he understands the realities of what is going on in Washington now, because he certainly dealt with it when he was vice president with President Obama. I mean, he was the guy that was up on Capitol Hill trying to work through deals, and sometimes he was successful, but most of the time they weren't. So he's a realist about that. I mean, I think the way he ran his campaign, also the fact that he in the beginning of the campaign this time around, nobody thought he really could win. I mean, he was really not winning the early primaries. He was not bringing the crowds in that other people were. And the thing is, and then at one point we were told that his campaign manager was going to talk to him and say, "Joe, I don't think this is the year for you. It's just not working out. We're running out of money." But the thing is, it didn't seem to matter to him, because I think he, in some ways, is driven by a belief in himself and a belief that he has a role to play, and he will try to accomplish it in any way possible. And so I think he's very centered in a lot of ways that other politicians aren't, and he doesn't, I don't think, depends upon what others, advisors or opposition or press say about him, because he's kind of done it all. You know, he's 78 now. He's been in Washington for 50 years. So I think he's very realistic in the ways of Washington, and the fact that he has gotten where he's gotten because he didn't listen to the people that tried to advise him against doing things when he felt that was the direction he should go. So I think those are his strengths, and I think those strengths were gained through crises that he's gone through over the years, the tragedies that he's been involved in, and because he is very tied into people in a way that, again, a lot of politicians aren't. He loves the game. He loves being with people. He loves trying to work out deals. And so, he does seem to be, amazingly enough, the right guy for the right time. It took him 50 years to get there. But it'll be amazing to see what he can accomplish with daunting tasks ahead of him because of just how difficult the world is that we're living in these days.
Yeah. Who will have his ear? Who are the people that he trusts that he's going to make a phone call to just for advice, just for insight?
He's had close people around him for, as some people, one of the people in the film is Senator, former Senator Ted Kaufman, who is one of those people that has been with him for 50 years, who was there for the very first campaign. He was famous always for these great family meetings where some of his top advisors, but also his sister and his wife, were always there and always advising him, and his mother at that point when she was alive. So he's got a Rolodex like none others, because he has been in Washington for so long. He basically just knows everybody, and he's also very willing to cross the aisle and talk to the opposition and try to work things out with the opposition. I mean, as much as McConnell was not very helpful during the 8 years that Obama was president, Joe always had a really good relationship with McConnell. And I think the fact that I thought it was interesting that tomorrow morning before the inauguration, they're having a church service, and he's invited all the leaders of the Democrats and the Republicans to be there at this church service to begin the day. And I think, the fact that McConnell's going to be there and other Republican leaders are going to be there is a good sign. And I think also because of the difficulty, I think the American people are pretty fed up with the fact that Congress has not been able to achieve much in the past 12 years or whatever, and has not lived up to the expectations that I think Americans have for the Congress. I think, there's a possibility that the Republicans and Democrats will understand that it's time to sort of work together in some way. And this time around, I think they have a president who is very willing to work with the opposition to try to get things done, because they're just so necessary at this point. This country needs a strong government in Washington, and I think if nothing else taught us that, it's the fact of how COVID has ravaged our country. And I think a lot of people believe that it didn't have to be as bad as it is, but the government didn't work as well as it should have to deal with this situation. So, I mean, at least that's the hope, I think, on both sides.
You mentioned his age, and that was certainly something that came up during the campaign. And I'm wondering, because, you know, 4 years from now, he'll be an 82-year-old man. Are there things that Joe Biden wants to do from a policy standpoint that you think we should watch for to say, you know, before he leaves office and that first term, he really wants this to be his legacy? Is he coming into this as a, you know, crisis moment for sure, but are there also things that you think are really essential to his leadership and what he wants to leave behind?
I think the my guess is probably the thing he wants to do almost more than anything else is to stabilize the government. I mean, as I said before, he's an institutionalist. He believes in strong institutions. He believed in a strong Senate and a Congress and the court system and the media. I think he believes in checks and balances. I think he believes in the way that this government has been set up by the founding fathers hundreds of years ago is something that has been damaged in the past four years. I think he believes that he needs to stabilize the situation and help bridge the divide between the partisanship in Washington and make the government work better in the ways that it has in the past. I think he believes in the fact that there has been a divide in the American public because nobody believes each other anymore. Everybody listens to only their own press. Only believes in the people that they have confidence in, and there's a break and a divide in the way that the media is viewed, and I think the President Trump was partially responsible for that because of basically tarnishing the much of the media because it didn't agree with him, and so he's been basically in a civil war with the media as well. I think the court systems, the media, the Congress have all been damaged to some extent. The intelligence services, because there's been a mistrust by the American people and certainly by President Trump in these institutions. So I think Joe will try to bring back trust, I think, in America, to rebuild the trust that is necessary for the public to believe in the government and allow it to do its work. I think that's one of the big things. I think he's going to, you know, as we all have heard in the news recently, I mean, he's going to be putting out executive orders to begin with that will undo some of the things that President Trump has done over the past few years. I think immigration is certainly one of the issues that is also on the front burner. I mean, I think he's got a long list of things, and COVID, I think, is going to be the initial thing out of the gate, that he understands that he's got to make this system work, and we have to conquer this disease by getting vaccines and more arms. So my guess is that will be the most important thing on his agenda to begin with.
You can tune in to President Biden on Frontline. It premieres tonight at 9 Central, 8 Mountain on SDPB-TV. It's also on YouTube and on the PBS app. And my guest has been Jim Gilmore, award-winning producer. He's been with Frontline for more than 3 decades. Jim, thanks for spending time with us today.
Thank you, Lori. It was a pleasure.